from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The Bureau of Land Management proposed new rules last month governing Burning Man, the week-long arts event, and temporary city built annually in Black Rock City, Nevada. The draft rules, which are open for public comment until April 29th, would impose new fees and environmental requirements and direct event organizers to hire a private security contractor to search for weapons and illegal drugs. Burning Man organizers say the rules would, quote, spell the end of the event as we know it. And we're going to talk about what's being proposed and how you can weigh in. Joining us is Jenny Kane, reporter who covers arts, culture, and Burning Man with the Reno Gazette Journal. Welcome, Jenny Kane.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Brian Doherty, who is senior editor of Reason Magazine, and his books include This is Burning Man. Welcome to the program, Brian Doherty. Good to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Brian, let me ask you to just kind of give us an overview of what the BLM here, the Bureau of Land Management, is proposing and why. A lot of the spotlight has been on actually not only fees and environmental rules, but also private security to check for weapons and illegal drugs. But there's a lot more to this. Can you give us a picture?
Sure. Most of the things that the Bureau of Land Management is proposing strike, I think, most observers who aren't BLM bureaucrats as not about the actual management and protection of federal land, which is supposed to be what they're about, but rather about the BLM's own often extremely picayune and demanding vision of how to manage the event. And indeed, weirdly, some of the ways they want to manage the event are absolutely going to cause incredibly deleterious environmental impacts to the land itself. The most ridiculous one of these, I think, is their demand that they want to encircle the entire encampment, the entire city, you know, the sort of whimsy of Burning Man is that they are creating an actual city, one of the biggest cities in Nevada, for a week. They want to create a 10-mile-long barrier of what's called K-rail, which I didn't really know about this myself until this all happened. It's those pure concrete fences, those solid blocks of concrete in the form of fences. If you've ever been out to the Black Rock Playa, it's extremely dusty and it's extremely windy. And any object, you know, it could be, you know, a jar of mayonnaise that you lay out on the Black Rock Playa. When the wind comes, it's going to create a little dune pile of dust around the object. So they're basically trying to demand that 10 miles of sort of 2-foot-tall dunes are going to be created intentionally by their demand, not to mention the incredible impact of dragging what is hundreds of tons of concrete out to the playa, dropping it there, forklifts, burning gas all the time. It's a ridiculous environmental impact. It would absolutely ruin the ability of anyone to use the playa as the kind of flat, desolate surface that people want to use it for. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with protecting the land, protecting the environment. It's incomprehensible why they want to do this, except that it would, you know, triple or more the cost of running the event. It really does seem in many ways as they're trying to, again, not to their own benefit, nickel and dime or you know, $1,000 and $1,000,000, you know, dollar the event out of existence. It's really curious why they're doing it, because, of course, the event as it exists is a cash cow for the BLM.
They make a lot of money off this, and they have made a lot of money historically. But I'm also curious to know about what is behind the idea to require Burning Man, the organization itself, actually, to provide private security to search for weapons and illegal drugs. I mean, how much of this was prompted by concern over terrorism, because there is a soft target there, but concern over a past history of a lot of problems with drugs and weaponry?
Yeah, that's the thing that caught my eye. I write for a publication of a libertarian bent called Reason, so the drug search thing is what caught my eye. It's a blatant and obvious Fourth Amendment violation, and I think the BLM thinks maybe they're being cute, because the BLM is not saying that we, federal agents, are going to conduct these searches, but the demand, and the reader should, listener should understand that these demands are drafts right now. They are not yet in place. There's a public comment period, so this is still a maybe. But what the BLM wants is to make Burning Man pay for a third-party private security to conduct drug and weapon searches on every attendee. And the really, you know, I ran this by a lawyer who's written a textbook on search and seizure, and he thought it was rather hilarious that they actually spell out that the search is for illegal drugs. You know, if they wanted more plausible deniability, they maybe could not say the words illegal drugs and sort of pretend that there's some nexus of public safety involved.
Now, I realize your concern about the Fourth Amendment, although it is federal land, right?
Right, exactly. And it's not anything about constitutional law is not settled until a specific incident gets in front of a specific judge. But everyone I talk to who's involved with the Fourth Amendment thinks that it's not usually the case that the federal government can get away with saying, well, it's not us doing it, when the nexus, as they say in the legal lingo, between the search and a federal demand is extremely clear. The only reason the search would be occurring is because the federal government is making it wants to make it a condition for this private permit holder to hire a private security to do it. And it also spells out in so many words that the private security firm is required to turn over any illegal drug possession they find to the Fed. Even the TSA is not required, you know, statutorily to turn over drugs they might find in the airline security process. I mean, they may. You're certainly taking a risk. But it's not written in black and white that you, the TSA, are there to enforce drug laws. They're supposed to be there to enforce safety. So this is...
So they can essentially issue a warrantless search with no probable cause to ticket holders.
That's exactly
what it is. Well, let me go to Jenny Kane. She's a reporter who covers arts, culture, and Burning Man with the Reno Gazette. There's also a whole question about garbage that's come up in this that I want to go to you on, Jenny Kane. And what we're talking about specifically is it used to be leaving no trace was essentially those who've been to Burning Man and know it. You take care of all the garbage and make sure that it's all gone. But a lot of it was getting dumped and has been at least historically dumped in Reno. So there's a lot of concern there, obviously.
Yeah. I think ideally, you know, Burning Man, one of its principles is leave no trace. They want to leave the planet as clean as it found it. And a lot of locals will attest that Burning Man has been responsible for leaving the playa cleaner than a lot of other users, hunters, you know, people go out on their motorcycles out there, and a lot of other people will leave trash, and Burning Man picks up that trash as well. There is a major point of contention with the dumpsters because I think that Burning Man feels that if you have dumpsters at the event, it encourages people to not be responsible for their own litter and debris and whatever they bring in. I think on the local side, though, you do have a lot of people that have reached a point of frustration with litter being left on the side of the road. There have been RVs that have been left, and you know, no one knew who it belonged to, and you had a bunch of agencies scratching their head, who's responsible for this? And then a lot of businesses post-event will come, you know, to work in the morning and find bags of trash that have been left. And that's not to say that's the majority of burners who are doing that, but there, you know, that seems to be a pretty big passion point for not just Reno, but a lot of the other surrounding communities within our area. There's a lot of, you know, people that go through Fernley or through some of the towns on the Pyramid Lake Paiute Reservation. And I think that's something that people would like to see less of, though people here in Reno do want to support the Burning Man organization. We do, you know, make a lot of money here in Reno. And I think there is hope for some kind of compromise in the future.
Is that money factor why you have some members of the public, environmental groups, supporting the proposed rules? I mean, essentially because the revenue is coming in?
Yeah, I think that you're asking whether or not people want to see the mitigation measures or...
Well, the whole picture. I mean, certainly we heard from Brian Doherty how this is going to affect the environment, and I think he laid it out pretty well. And yet you have a lot of people in the public, even environmental groups, supporting all these proposed rules. Actually, maybe you could give us a picture. You were at the public hearing that took place in Sparks, Nevada just last night, and I should mention there will be another one taking place this evening, 5 to 8, at the Pershing County Community Center in Lovelock, Nevada. But what was the picture that you got there from supporters? Why are people in favor of these rules?
So it was a really interesting meeting last night. Lots of tension, very adversarial. You had Burning Man on one side, BLM on the other, and then probably more than 200 people showed up, the large majority of whom were burners. Already kind of covered the dumpsters were a major issue, the drug searches, the barriers. And then I think that there is some question to the BLM about some of these measures and how they would affect the environment. For a 400-page report that is supposed to largely be about the environment, there was very little talk on both sides about the actual environment.
Were they talking about the view? Because it would kill the view, some of the burners were saying. You got 5,000 barriers would be needed. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think for a lot of burners, this is the one week every year where a lot of these people feel like they can fully be themselves. They can have their ideal experience of life. This is kind of, their heaven. and so the idea of kind of being in an enclosure and taking away that from that sense of complete freedom, I think is disheartening for a lot of burners. On the other hand, too, looking at the barriers that we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of question on whether or not those would build up a bunch of dust behind them. With the trash fence that I think Brian mentioned earlier, it does let a lot of just go through. So the BLM just, I think, needs to address some things that it's suggesting as solutions for the environment, because some people feel like they would have adverse effects.
Well, BLM certainly wants to, at least has said that they want to work with Burning Man. They have an interest in working with the organizers, largely because there was over about $1 million that they make every year. Let me invite you, our listeners, to join us, and please feel free to weigh in here in terms of what you feel about the future of Burning Man. Some are saying this may spell the end of Burning Man. What do you think about these proposed rules, though? And let me open the phone lines now and hear from you, our listeners. You don't necessarily have to have been a burner to let us know what your thoughts are, and you may have questions as well. And you can join us now at our toll-free number. The number to call, 866-733-6786. Please feel free to be part of the program. Again, you can join us at 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website and posting any questions or comments you have there at kqed.org/forum. And you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. We have Jenny Kane on the line, a reporter who covers Burning Man for the Reno Gazette Journal. She also covers arts and culture. And Brian Doherty is with us, senior editor of Reason Magazine and author of This Is Burning Man. This will mean the end of Burning Man, possibly, Brian Doherty?
If, in fact, at the end of this comment process, the BLM insists that everything that they propose, the 10 miles of Jersey barriers, the warrantless searches of everyone, the dumpsters, the worries about terrorism because someone in a novel years ago imagined a terror attack on Burning Man, I've seen realistic cost estimates from the event that would mean either ticket prices would nearly double, or they would have to stop, or they would have to maybe find some land that the Bureau of Land Management doesn't control. But, if the BLM gets away with this, it's certainly the end of the event as we know it in the Black Rock Play of Nevada.
And Jenny Kane, all this concern about drugs, we should mention, isn't marijuana now legal in Nevada?
It is, yeah. I mean, one thing, though, to note is that
I only ask that, excuse me, because most of the so-called drug use is probably marijuana, isn't it?
I guess if you look at drug citations and history of arrests, a lot of it is pertaining to drugs, and you could say that most of it is marijuana, but it is hard to tell from the data that's provided whether or not, you know, they find a large amount of marijuana on one person versus, you know, 50 people that have marijuana. So it's a little bit hard to tell what is truly the most common drug out there, but there's no question that there's definitely drug use.
And this event, actually, just in terms of the people who organize the event have been talking about the cost increases. They're talking about too much oversight by the government, of course, and they're also talking about their operational track record. And before I go to our callers here, Brian, could you say something about their operational track record?
Yeah, the Burning Man organizers maintain, and I think they're mostly correct on this, that in most of these things, the BLM has not been able to prove that there is a problem needing solving. The garbage thing is a good example of that. I mean, yes, sometimes when you decentralize the garbage removal, the current system is every attendee is supposed to take out what they bring in, and some of them don't tie their bags properly in the back of their pickup or the roof of their trailer or whatever, and definitely, sometimes bags of garbage get strewn along the road between Burning Man and Reno, but Burning Man has a dedicated team of people who patrol the road and pick that stuff up. So, yeah, it is a problem. Burning Man already has a way to solve it, and they maintain that that's a more sensible way, a more cost-efficient way, and a more environmentally efficient way than trucking out what would be acres of giant dumpsters and laying them on this ground, the preservation of which is supposed to be the BLM's concern, not these event management issues. So I think the evidence of the past and the evidence of the things the BLM is asking for show that the BLM, for whatever reason, is not just worried about protecting the land. And in fact, as I said, this whole concrete barrier thing is an absolute certain destruction of a very important aspect of the Black Rock Playa, which is its flatness, because it is going to create a 10 miles of foot-high dunes, like no question.
All right, I'm going to read a couple of comments, and I'm going to go to our callers. Chrissy says, why would anyone care? They're in the middle of the desert. It's not like they're driving around neighborhoods. Who cares if they want to get high? Too much reach. And Olaf says, rich techies being forced to play by the rules the rest of us play by? What a novel idea. Let me go to our callers, and let's begin with you, Danny. You're on the air. Morning.
How are you doing this morning? I'm a longtime burner. I first went to Burning Man in 1998. I've been a sponsored artist there, and this is not the first time the BLM has come down with draconian regulations that have nothing to do with protecting the environment, nothing to do with protecting the people, nothing to do with really preserving the event. This is about power and money, and that's all it's about. It's not about anything. The BLM does not want to work with Burning Man or our community or our culture. They're the antithesis of it, and I really think at this point, even though I'm going to write as a citizen against these latest draconian regulations, which are completely destructive of our culture and the spirit of real freedom that exists out there on the playa, I think we need to move the event and take the money away from the federal government, which is a completely reactionary institution that maintains a default society in general. And that's part of what makes Burning Man so attractive to people.
Danny, I'm glad you weighed in, and I thank you for that. I appreciate hearing from you this morning. We'll let his comments stand, but prompts another question from a listener named Joe, and let me go to you again on this, if I could, Brian Doherty. Joe says, why after all these years would they want to interfere? That is a BLM.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Why after all these years would the Bureau of Land Management want to interfere? They've been making good
question.
Money out of this, yeah.
I was shocked by this, too, because, you know, I wrote a book about Burning Man in 2004, and I get that question a lot. Like, it's kind of a weird thing, right? And people wonder, gee, why does the federal government let this happen? And the answer, you won't get people to say this on the record, but the answer I came to understand is, well, everyone kind of benefits. Obviously, the people who go benefit, and the local sheriffs benefit. They get paid off. The federal BLM gets paid off. You know, there's a lot of money for everyone. So what I always used to say was, short of any single incident that was so monstrous that there'd be a Senate hearing, you know, where the head of the Department of the Interior would be asked, why are you letting this happen on federal land? Like, something that kills 9 grandmothers and 7 babies, right? And that kind of stuff doesn't happen. I thought it would be politically safe. So I was shocked by this. I found that many of the Burning Man organizers were shocked. I understand that when this document hit, it was not something that had been discussed beforehand with the other stakeholders. They just sort of hit the world with it. So it's a bit of a mystery. And it may be a negotiating thing, right? This is proposals. There is a public comment period. I am remaining hopeful that in the end the BLM backs down on a lot of it. Maybe they get a little bit of what they want. I can only say that sometimes bureaucrats get really interested in the things going on around them, and obviously the BLM has a lot of ideas, again, not about managing the land, but about managing this event, and they want to have their hand in it.
Well, we're getting lots of responses, and let me just read a few of them here. Bernard says, I would think that the Bureau of Land Management would have higher priorities than flouting their power for a cheap thrill. Move on and focus on something constructive. Lindsay writes, lame and expensive. It already takes 8 to 12 hours in line just to get in. And another listener says yes to everything except the security guards. And let's go to more of your calls, and let's go next to Shamar. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to chime in and kind of ditto the comment earlier about just making these folks play by the same rules that I think everyone else is expected to play by. I'm a lifelong Bay Area resident. You know, I studied environmental science, worked in nonprofits. I've seen people go to this every year, and it's always, you know, it's an expensive time to kind of do whatever you want, and it's very privileged and very exclusive and not something that I've ever felt the desire to go to. But I think, you know, if this event can't survive by following the same rules, you know, I feel sorry for the artists and the folks that are looking for space. But here in the Bay, we've got plenty of beautiful outdoor natural spaces to enjoy, plenty of arts venues and arts communities. I just think it's unnecessary, it's offensive, it's absurd. And, you know, I'll miss having that week without the burners in the Bay. But, you know, if those folks have to kind of grow up and play by the same rules, I'm not really going to mourn for them.
Well, I thank you, Shamar, for weighing in. It's good to hear from you, and I appreciate hearing from you.
By the way, these are not the same rules that any land user of federal land has to do. These are super intrusive and higher and more intense than any other land use permit I've ever heard of.
And
it's
we
not
should
that
mention
we all have to agree to warrantless searches to enter, you know, a federal land. So it's not the same rules.
I just want to say we invited the Bureau of Land Management to join us, but they declined. And Jenny Kane, let me go back to you for a moment here, because the Bureau of Land Management has been pretty careful to say these aren't drug searches, but they're screenings. Can you shed some light on that distinction that they're trying to make?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of unclear last night. They tried to make the distinction between screening and search, and I was online this morning trying to figure out what that difference was, and I couldn't find it myself. I think that was something that could be a legal point to contend with later. I do want to chime in, though, just, you know, to play devil's advocate here, and because there's no one from BLM, you know, the one of the reasons that this process is happening is because Burning Man is asking to grow to 100,000. This isn't...
They're at 70 now, right? Yeah.
They're at 80,000.
Or 85.
They
have
actually surpassed the population cap once or twice in the past, twice, I believe. So there is a reason to an extent behind this. I mean, they're asking to have 20,000 more people. We already have our roads, you know, full of burners for a week, and that does cause stress on our local roads. Burning Man is working with local agencies to kind of keep those roads in good shape. But, and then additionally, I would say that, you know, the BLM is a federal agency, and it does have a responsibility beyond the environment to ensure that there's public health and safety out at Burning Man. And, you know, one guy that I was talking to last night, he was too scared to talk in front of all the burners because he didn't want to, you know, have stones thrown at him. But, you know, to his point, he mentioned that if there was another October 1st, you know, we had a mass shooting down in Vegas. If there was something like that to happen out at Burning Man, everyone would look to BLM as the responsible agency and to why they didn't look at options that would protect the participants. So not to say that all of the mitigation measures are the right thing to do. I'm just saying that perhaps, you know, we should keep that in mind, that they are an agency that has responsibility to answer to the public when things do happen.
And again, Jennifer Kane writes for the Reno Gazette Journal, and we'll get another caller on here. I want to read a couple quick comments. So Jan says, let people live their lives. We live with such restrictions on a day-to-day basis. Now the Puritans want to control Burning Man. Ugh. Why is it that all good things seem to come to an end? Marty says, I think these rules would pretty much end Burning Man for most of the crowd. Here's a listener, Alexis. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm just calling because Burning Man has always been a point of contention for me as a Black Bay Area resident. I've always found it very interesting that 80,000 people can gather in a desert, predominantly white people, and do a lot of illegal drugs and party and have no restrictions without penalty. And in fact, it's federally not subsidized, but tracked and funded. And I just don't, yes, there are rules. And the idea that, to me, what it sounds like is a privileged group of people who have been allowed to not follow the rules do need to follow the rules. And if 80,000 Black Bay Area residents gathered in the desert, that would end very differently. I guarantee it. And so I've always just really struggled with Burning Man. I don't know what the message is. The message sort of is like, is if you have money and if you're white, you're allowed to do this. And for me, I'm actually kind of happy to hear this, personally.
All right. Glad you weighed in here, Alexis. Thank you for that call. Appreciate it. And we'll get another caller on from Reno. Marnie, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Marnie Benson. I am the Associate Director of Government Affairs for Burning Man. And I wanted to call in and pick up on something that Jenny mentioned earlier about last night's meeting and a lack of focus on the environment, and just let you know that we did focus a lot on the environmental impacts of BLM's proposals and noted in the draft EIS that BLM had failed to analyze the environmental impacts of their proposals, including, as Brian mentioned, the barriers and the dunes that they would cause and the changes they would make to the playa surface. And all of the transportation issues, greenhouse gas emissions from transportation that would be associated with many of their proposals. We also emphasized last night Burning Man's 30-year commitment to environmental protection and stewardship of public land, including our Leave No Trace ethic, our programs operationally, including playa restoration, our highway cleanup program, and our environmental compliance program on site.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. And let me thank our guests, Jennifer Kane, Brian Doherty, and invite you, our listeners, to continue this discussion online at kqed.org/forum. And thank you so much for joining us for these two first hour of Forum. When we return, Ruth Reichel, famed food writer, will be our guest. Stay tuned for that. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis. On view through April 14th, Blue and Yellow Corridor, an iconic work by Bruce Nauman, realized on the very grounds where the artist conceived it.